Adam, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm fantastic, Jack. How about yourself?
Excellent. I'm enjoying this typical year-end break between Christmas and New Year's.
That's it. Everything just seems like it's normal, right? Just going right along. And I guess it's kind of normal, Jack, for 2020 from the standpoint that it can often feel like Groundhog Day this year. And certainly has kind of felt that way. This has felt like almost every other day the last 9 months in terms of what day is it? Kind of keep track of stuff and just kind of everything's a little bit different. But you get up, never quite sure what you're going to get, but have some fun with it, right?
Yeah, it's been just an absolute crazy year. I hope 21 gets some clarity to it. Hope we don't keep doing the same stuff or versions of it. There's a lot of good that can come out of this, a lot of bad that can come out of this. I hope the bad doesn't prevail too much.
No, I mean, what's good about this time of year is always the case, Jack, which is you get a chance to kind of take a breath. Again, we've had more chances to take breaths this year than normal, but again, still to kind of take a breath, take a look at what the year that was, and what does that mean for kind of going into next year? And so we've had some of those themes here the last several weeks, too, in terms of this stuff. But one of the themes we wanted to kind of bring up this week and kind of talk about, it's circling back to a topic that's been near and dear to our hearts for years, Jack, we haven't talked about in a little while, which is our beloved Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
And we're not here to talk X's and O's because that's not our expertise. But as we talk about the Browns, usually we talk about a lot of organizational and leadership things. And unfortunately, if you've heard any of our older shows about this, usually it's not necessarily good things, Jack. It's more the shows about what not to do in terms of if you start to look at all things that the Browns had been doing. But what we want to do today is we want to spend a little time quick little history lesson in terms of kind of how they went from being an 0-16 team, the perfect record, Jack, the perfect record of futility, just four short years ago. And here they are as we sit today. They are a couple days away from a game that if they win this weekend, they will be in the playoffs for the first time in 18 years.
Who would have thunk it years ago?
All right.
Nobody.
And if you would have polled every Cleveland Browns fan, Jack, back in mid-August and told them, hey, we're going to give you a 10-5 record and you're going to have a January 3rd matchup against your hated rival, the Steelers. And if you win, you go to the playoffs. I think every fan would have signed up for that game in an instant back in August.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And they wouldn't believe, they wouldn't have believed it, from that standpoint. And they wouldn't have believed it for a number of reasons. So again, what we want to do today is we want to kind of talk a little bit about kind of some of the progress thing that they've been doing right. And I want to kind of, match that, Jack, with, you've mentioned over the years and you've shared quite a few of your stories about some of the turnarounds you've gone in, where you've gone in to take companies that are kind of broken, get them fixed up and get them pointing in the right direction, which is basically what the Browns have had to do here in the last 4 years. They were broken and they had to kind of get rebuilt back up. So we want to kind of talk about, if you're in that stage, of how do you kind of rebuild or reset your organization? Because I think, Jack, I think most of us are in that kind of a situation right now. We've got these overused terms that have been talked about, the new normals and the pivoting and all this other stuff this year, Jack, that I think we're all tired of hearing about. So to me, it comes back to, okay, looking at 2021, what are you going to do to kind of rebuild or reset your organization going into this year? And we're going to use examples, again, of the Cleveland Browns here, as well as some of the Jack's stories of kind of rebuilding companies himself, to give you some ideas or hopefully some good nuggets here of stuff you might be able to do for your company going into 2021. So what do you think about that, Jack?
I think that's a good topic for today. Very appropriate for today.
All right. So let me try to paint the picture, for our audience here in a few minutes, Jack, in terms of what we're talking about, in terms of the organizational stuff. So for those of you who are not familiar, okay, the Cleveland Browns have been back in the NFL for a little bit more than 20 years now. It's been a tough 20 years since they came back in the NFL. But if you look back to the penultimate point or the high point or the low point, whatever it was, Jack, to me it's a low point, is it was 4 years ago when they went 0-16, which was after they had gone 1-15 the year before, right? So it wasn't like this was like a 1 year thing. They were, so they had, what happened was they brought in some new people. They tried something very, very different. There was a phrase by the owner, Jimmy Haslam, saying, hey, we're going to tear it down to the studs, Jack, right? So we can all visualize that kind of going into a building that's just you know, been condemned, right? Basically, so, okay, we're going to tear down the studs and see what we got. And so what that means for an organization, or what it means for a football team, what it means is they're going to take people, change the people out, change the structure out, change what they're going to do. So they hired people, brought people in. Sashi Brown was a very young, 30-something, Ivy League educated, Harvard educated lawyer who had been part of the staff. And, you know, I don't think he ever played football. Maybe he hadn't played since he's a kid. But anyway, he got put in the GM role, which is basically the person running the show, the general manager. And it appears that what his charge was, Jack, was to get the administrative side cleaned up a little bit in terms of the people, in terms of some of the structure, to get their books in order, right? They, when you look at the NFL, they have a salary cap in terms of how much money that they can spend on people every year. They have certain contracts in place that they've got for players and that. So a big part of his charge was to get that stuff cleaned up. And as you look back on it, what they did is they create a lot of cap space, right? So if they could spend 100 and some million, you know, let's say they could spend $150 million a year, they weren't spending $150 million a year. They only spent $100 million a year. And so they're saving money. They're reinvesting things in different ways. They got very young. They got rid of some older players and contracts. They built up their draft picks. And so they kind of cleaned house, and they gave people a chance to kind of see what they could do. And so the long and short of it was, over this 2-year period, this team did a good job of getting it down to the studs, Jack, of winning one game out of 32 games in the matter of 2 years, and basically having almost zero talent on the roster. No, a bunch of young kids kind of running around, right? All right. So they say, fine. Next thing they do is, hey, we need to get some talent here, right? Now we have a bunch of draft picks. We got some money to spend. And so they go and get a guy named John Dorsey to replace Sashi Brown. Now, John Dorsey is kind of that guy who's a talent evaluator. He's very good at picking talent. And he was coming off of just picking up who's maybe one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. We'll see, a guy named Patrick Mahomes, who's about 3 years into his career now, but he looks like he could be probably one of the best ever. And this guy, John Dorsey, is the guy who picked this guy. And it wasn't a number one pick. He picked him like number 12 in the draft. He traded up to kind of get him. So he's been viewed as a shrewd talent evaluator. And he filled up the Kansas City Chiefs, which was his prior job, with some very, very good talented people. Some questions on the character side for some of these guys. But again, from a talent standpoint, from a football standpoint, Jack, are very, very good football players. They're very good talent. And so over the course of the next couple of years, John Dorsey, you know, used the draft picks and the money to kind of get some good talent on board. Now, as part of that too, they were trying to figure out who the leadership was going to be, and they were he was forced to keep your buddy Hugh Jackson, right? Who was a key guy. He kept Hugh Jackson for, he had to keep him for the first 8 games, and it wound up being terrible, right? He was doing terribly. I think he was 2-5-1. They wound up letting Hugh go, and they bring in they promote these other guys. They promote Greg Williams, and they promote to head coach, and promote this guy Freddie Kitchens, who nobody's ever heard of before, the offensive coordinator. And lo and behold, the team goes 5-3, Jack. So here they are the second half of that year. They go 5-3, and they figure, hey, maybe this is the right combination. They keep this Freddie Kitchen guy on as coach into the next year, and all heck breaks loose, right? They had some talent, more talent in the offseason. They're the talk of the town, and they come out, and they just start getting their butts kicked by everybody, Jack, and they have a terrible year. They wound up going 6-10, you know, last year. And the GM gets fired, the coach gets fired. It's like, and as a Cleveland Browns fan, you're thinking, oh my goodness, we're going through it all again, Jack. We're going through it all again. And there's a guy who's been there this whole time named Paul DePodesta. And for those of you who are fans of sports, or maybe of Brad Pitt, you may have heard of this movie called Moneyball, or this book called Moneyball. Paul DePodesta was one of the key guys with Moneyball, which was in baseball, in terms of just different ways of getting these analytics and some other things that were part of kind of stats and you know, making it part of, you know, part of baseball. In any case, DePodesta had been hired, you know, about 5 years ago by the Browns, and he was kind of in the background. But he's also now the chief strategy officer. He's the guy now taking, you know, the front and center, and they wanted to bring in some different people. So they hired a very young GM who had been here before, a guy named Andrew Berry. He's the youngest GM in the league. I think he's 32, 33 years old, Jack. So very, very young.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they also hired this coach, Kevin Stefanski, who's about 38 years old. And these two came on board about, you know, earlier in 2020. It was maybe in January. So it's less than a year. Like I said, Jack, now all of a sudden we have basically what was the same team from a talent standpoint. They've changed a few players, but it's night and day in terms of how the team's operating, right? In terms of not only in the wins and loss record, right now they're 10-5 versus last year they were 6-10. Just in terms of how they play, they haven't lost two games in a row this year. You know, so whenever they lose, they come back. They fought through like many people have with this crazy year with COVID and trying to adjust kind of what they do stuff. But they finally seem to have gotten that leadership part now right as well. So they had the administrative piece in order, you know, with that first regime, kind of get things, you know, in place from a monetary and draft standpoint. They got some talent on board with that second regime. And now this third regime, they seem to finally got the leadership that they need, not only from the organization standpoint off the field, but also from the on-the-field organization standpoint, you know. And we have those things all kind of working. All of a sudden, now things start to work really, really well. And they seem to be working in the right direction. And not only that, they seem to have a foundation where it's not like, hey, we had a good quarter or, you know, a good month or a good year. It seems like the foundation is set, Jack, where they've kind of rebuilt this thing to where it can be or reset at the point where it can start to kind of grow and do very, very well. Now, so that was a little setting of the stage here, Jack. Because what I want to do is I want to kind of talk about not only just the Brown stuff here, but also in terms of, you've had a lot of experience of going into broken companies, right? And you kind of come in, you see stuff. And a lot of things that the Browns have done here in the last 4 years, you've done in much quicker time frames. I would say probably between 90 days to 6 months in terms of kind of going in and assessing what's missing, what's kind of needed, and getting that organization kind of redirected, reset, kind of get it rebuilt, kind of going in the right direction. And it can be done. It can be done relatively quickly if you kind of know what you're doing. Because we aren't going to pick on the Haslams today. The Haslams have been there the whole time for this stuff, and they've had some stuff. So they've stayed out of the way. They seem to have kind of gotten it right. And said, okay, part of what they've done really well this year, Jack, is they've been out of the limelight. There's no
difference. Their name hasn't come up at all. That's good. They haven't even shown pictures of them during the game.
Right. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Right. That is a good thing.
So let's try to draw those analogies. So you know, I don't know which situation that you want to bring up, Jack. But you know, if you can recall, kind of going in and you know, the first time you went into a company to kind of get it rebuilt versus the last time you did it, probably very, very different in terms of what you see, in terms of what's kind of going on, in terms of, you know, knowing, okay, here's the first step versus the next step versus the next step, in terms of, you know, realizing what's kind of going on and knowing that you can't just do it by yourself either. This isn't just you. It's a matter of, you know, looking at the team that you've got around you and stuff like that. But try to draw some of those examples of what folks might be seeing today, because they've had their worlds kind of turn upside down a little bit this year as well. As we kind of get, you know, look to plan for the next year, what kind of things can we do to kind of get things reset here and rebuilt in our organizations kind of going forward? What things we need to focus on to make that happen and be able to happen in a very positive way, Jack?
Interesting challenge here. Drawing the analogy, as long as Hugh Jackson isn't being drawn in his analogy here, if I don't have to use him, we'll be okay.
Well, use Hugh Jackson as the guys you came in to replace, perhaps, Jack. Maybe Hugh was the prior owner of one of these companies, perhaps, in terms of what he was doing.
Well, there's a couple of things that have to be apparent. You know, there has to be some talent somewhere. We're taking football and, you know, we're looking at football like any other company, any other type of organization. It has to be organized to win. And in order to be organized to win, you need some smart people somewhere, at least one or two in a small business that we're talking about. And there has to be some, for quick change, there has to be some evidence of revenue that, you know, they've been around. This isn't a startup. This is a company that's been trying to do things, trying to make profits. So you need some data. So you need a couple of good people. At least, you know, your intuitiveness should say that this guy's pretty good. And you need some information. Now, the first company I got didn't have much of anything. Well, it didn't have much of anything in the way of information. It had none. Now, typically, when you're looking at fixing a company or redirecting it, you got to bring your team in. If you have a team, you know, a lot of people own companies and they've never developed a team. They've never really used the team to generate ideas and new ideas. But a troubled company needs to change, obviously, or else it'll run out of money and go out of business. Now, this company was just about, it was actually falling over the cliff. I was able to grab it before it fell down. This is the first company, the tiny one. And the IRS was closing in on it and was literally going to shut it down. So how did the company get like a Hugh Jackson 0-16 team? How did they do that? Well, the founder, he got old, like we're all going to do, and he basically had pretty poor health. And ultimately, you know, him getting off the captain's chair was started the slide to oblivion for this little company. It was about ready to be closed. So on a couple of visits there, but they had no data that they were working on that you would call worthy. When I went there for doing due diligence, before I bought the company, they had a revenue source. That was UPS. They had been around for so long that they had revenue coming from, you know, everybody knew about them. They had little niche hobby markets and tiny armatures. This company wound armatures, which go into electric motors. But they never really expanded the size and the complexity of the product and looked for different avenues. So what had to be done to save this company was to reorganize it and create a little chain of command here. So every day the UPS would come in and drop packages off and pick them up. Yet there was no sales force. There's no advertising. There's no marketing. But every day they'd be getting business and they'd be able to process this stuff. They being one guy, that one person who knew the company well, and he never considered himself to be a guy who would be in charge, if you will, or owning a company, but yet he was the rock. He knew how to look at armatures, assess them, evaluate the team, dispense the work, all done kind of through experience, not through data. So taking a company like that and befriending this guy, because he was just so important and strategic, we were able to redo the organization and start to bring in some data, not so much for the existing people, but for a couple of other people who were brought in to basically help me evaluate what we had to do. And this company was small, only had 7 employees, so you could get your hands around things pretty quickly. And with that team, we set out quick goals, fast goals, you know, to get the place cleaned up, to get some semblance of a consistent production scheduling, start to look at the sales, how we can get sales through marketing, put the organization, because there were a couple of other people who were pretty good, not as good as the one guy we selected, to kind of be the overseer of the production and any problematic areas that we had. So we created a team quickly within the first month, and we put in some basic data points to measure our receivables and keep track of those, and our payables, which are always easy because people always remind you that you owe money, and clean up the place, get it focused, create a chain of command. And before you know it, brought somebody in for getting sales. And basically, we succeeded. That place was turned around in 60 to 90 days.
That quick.
And it was losing money enough for, you know, huge IRS penalties and the like piling up. And they were never going to be able to pay them. And we flipped it around from losing substantial money and had a winner there. We turned it around and became very profitable, and we sold it a couple of years later to a player in the industry, a company who had been established for 30, 40 years, who had, you know, quite a profitable organization doing the same thing, but with bigger products. So you need somebody with knowledge, and you could look at the Browns when they were losing like that, that had not overall knowledge. You know, the general manager had football knowledge. He had maybe a sense of administration. He had, his focus was on the talent, the product on the field, so to speak. He had good instincts for that. But, you know, to run a company, you have to see those three areas, not those three areas that we teach. One is the product itself, which we, you know, got some good players, tried to get some good players, but the organization, which is part of the administration, wasn't ever fixed. So you bring in these coaches who didn't really know how to coach, didn't know how to really look at administration and marketing, and yet those were part of the success that ultimately looks like it happened at Cleveland Browns with this group. So you need the right group. You need somebody leading it that can see the bigger picture and all the parts that you need and how they fit together. And from that, you go out and you try and get people. That's always the challenge. Always will be the challenge.
Yeah, it's a mixture. if you compare what you were doing with that company, Jack, and you kind of bring it back to the Browns too. You had some guys that, to your point, had some skills or experience in certain areas, but maybe not in other areas, right? So we had, you know, folks who were first time GM or first time head coach. And it's often the case within any organization, people do well at their current role or their current job, and they get promoted or they get more responsibility. And you're never quite sure. You know, once that person ready to take over that head coaching role, right? And so they thought Hugh Jackson was the guy when they hired him. You know, he had a little bit of experience before that. Why, you know, not being the case, right? So when Greg Williams got in there, he'd been a coach before, so he was able to kind of stabilize things. But they thought maybe Freddie could do it, right? They started to realize that, you know, guys like Hugh or Hugh Jackson or even Freddie Kitchens, or I think probably a certain extent that Greg Williams, many of these folks, they're good at their at certain roles, but like anything else, you get to a certain point where, hey, you know, not everybody's going to be the one to be the CEO, you know, to be the head coach, be wherever it might be. So it's a matter of knowing where people kind of fit, you know, in terms of what their roles are going to be too. As you come in with folks, you know, because again, you're never quite sure that people are going to work out, right? So, like, you know, for Kevin Stefanski, this is his first year being head coach. They didn't know he'd be, you know, if he'd be a good head coach or not. And part of it is the football stuff, to your point, Jack. But a lot of it is the other stuff. It's like people will refer to it now as like the head coach, like being a CEO of the organization. We're all sitting here, you happen to be the face of the organization, dealing with the press, dealing with all the stuff kind of going on. You know, in today's day and age with all the coronavirus stuff happening, Jack, in terms of just the administrative things there between what's open, what's not open, you know, how are we meeting in person? Are we doing it, you know, are we doing it via Zoom, so, you know, something else, just to kind of coordinate all that stuff, all the activity kind of going on, right? And so the knowledge of football is just almost assumed. It's a lot of those other skills that maybe aren't even necessarily related to football. It's very similar to what we talk to all of our small business clients about, Jack, which is, hey, you know, if you can get the company running to the point where Jack, you or I can run the company, that's going to be a very valuable company, because it doesn't rely upon any expertise in the product or service area. Like you're giving the example about the armatures, right, where it was reliant upon a lot of the knowledge that was in that founder's head in terms of what, you know, what he knew, kind of what he was able to do, which is great when he was around and helped to build a nice business for several decades. But when he took ill, all of a sudden, it wasn't just him taking ill; it was the company getting ill too, because
that's right.
Because you know that wasn't there.
You always have to, as the owner, you always have to do what's best for the company. And things get mixed up occasionally with emotion that precludes that being done in many cases, and that starts that slippery slope many times. So by coming in new, and if you're fairly knowledgeable, you know, you can see pretty much how this small business should be looking 5-10 years away from now. Not definitive answers, but just a vision. You can see it. So what's best for the company? Well, to get focused, you know, to have a product that works. Okay, we're selling it. Now we want to sell more. So we need marketing knowledge. We need to put somebody in charge of that. So we start to generate our sales, and we need a good product, and we need the backup support to basically produce that product. And there's usually talent in the company that's been there for a while. So you build around them if they have the capability, and they do. Many times they do. And then the administrative part, well, there's a lot of ways to handle the administration, but you have to pay attention to it. You can't neglect it. But if you get those three, if you can get those three embedded in your head, and then act quickly to put somebody in place in charge of those, and if you get lucky, that person's going to thrive in that position, and it becomes pretty easy.
Yeah, you start to look at these things. Again, the overall topic here is trying to kind of rebuild or reset the organization. And what we often will do, and this is something we take all of our clients through pretty much on an annual basis, Jack, is to take a look at their organization in terms of how it's set up from a structural standpoint. And we've talked about this, you know, quite a bit on this show, Jack, which is the idea of a functional org chart, which is the idea of in terms of, you know, how should the organization look? How should it function? And as part of that functional org chart, you aren't putting any names in those boxes yet. You're just trying to say, here's how the structure should be. And so part of what we saw, again, come back to the Browns here for a second, you know, that they were continuing to mess with the structure. You know, and if you look back over the last 10 years that Haslam's have owned this thing, they've probably had 4, 5, 6 different structures, Jack, in terms of who's in charge, how does this kind of work. You know, they had a structure early on where you know, after a couple of years, Haslam just said, hey, you know, I'm going to have the head coach and the GM, this, you know, he's had every report directly to him. And then after a couple of years, I was like, well, that's not working, right? So I had to kind of change structure again, right? And so they went through a structural change here last offseason, which was, again, coming back to Paul DePodesta and this chief strategy officer, and they were mentioning this whole alignment thing. You know, I want to make sure we have alignment from our front office to the field. And so it's, again, just being on the same page, right? So, it's no different from
– That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
So we talk, like I said, Jack, with all of our owners – okay, your key team, usually as an owner of a small company, your key team is going to be a handful of people or less. So it comes down to, as you look at those handful of people, so what we would encourage you to do right now is look at your organization from two ways. One is just the overall structure. Again, is the structure the right structure for the organization? All right. So again, look at, you know, forget the names in the boxes, but again, from a structural standpoint, do you need to make any changes? And then the second thing becomes, okay, the people side of it. All right. So, you know, I contend that if we had brought Kevin Stefanski in 4 years ago to what Hugh Jackson was brought into, my guess is he would have had a lot of the same results that Hugh Jackson probably had. Now, would he have done better? Maybe, yeah, but he certainly wouldn't have done what he did this year, Jack, because the structure wasn't in place in terms of having the right structure in place. Also, the talent wasn't there, right? So, you know, from the standpoint of being put in a position to succeed, I think that's something that we all want to do when we're hiring people, Jack, is you bring that person on board and want to make sure that day one, they can be in a position that they're ready to succeed. And so I think what's happened with both, you know, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski is they've both been put in those spots where they've been put there to succeed from day one, and they have been. So that's supposed to reinforce, hey, not only do we have the right structure in place, Jack, but we also have the right people in those seats now doing those things. Okay. Now it doesn't mean that they have it all figured out. They're going to do great. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying, hey, we're finally saying, hey, they're at the point now where they could use some tweaks, Jack, as opposed to a total overhaul, right? Or, you know, going down to the studs or whatever different phrase you want to be able to kind of use for that. And so this is a great time of year, Jack, to look at our organizations that way too and say, hey, what do I need to do? And many of us had the ability to make some of those changes this year because there were some things that were forced upon us. But we just had a client, you know, last week had one of his key guys resign. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know yet, Jack. It might be an okay thing, you know, from that standpoint. You know,
it might very well be. Yeah. That's right, and that's okay. You gotta, after this year, you have to take a look at your organization differently and assess your people and do things that have been swimming in your mind for quite a while. Now's the time to act on them. And absolutely, you're only going to have one or two people helping you do this. You know, that's your executive team, whoever that's going to be, whatever they look like. And they're the ones who are going to basically clarify the vision, clarify what has to be done, evaluate people. Don't just assume they're going to come on for another year and do whatever they do. Look at your people to rechange the organization. Even if you have to cut stuff out, that's okay. That's usually at this point what you have to do anyway to turn a company around. Some people will go. Some procedures are going to be cut. Some, you know, new ideas have to be presented. They have to be vetted. And, you know, that's what you do. But you do it quickly. You don't drag it out. And I think that's what, you know, the cycle with these pro football teams are a little different than making widgets or servicing cleaning customers, you know. But they all basically have the same concept, those three things that I talked about: product, marketing, and administration. And if you get those aligned with good people heading them up with good communication from the leader, you're in good shape. You'll turn around anything or shoot it dead, because there's no way you're going to sell this stuff.
I think to quickly build on that, Jack, and again, to kind of get some kudos and some credit here to the Haslams in terms of what they've been doing from that standpoint, is if they find that things weren't working, they've made the changes. Okay. And that takes courage too. A lot of folks will kind of just sit and wait and hope that things get better, instead of, hey, realize it's not working.
You're
instead
right.
of just kind of sticking with it and hoping it gets better, they say, let's make the change. And that's something that often we have to kind of do in terms of figuring, hey, what change do we have to kind of make? I think to your point, Jack, I think maybe we have a chance upon reflection that, hey, a lot of things that maybe we're waiting to make some changes for this year that we got forced to change this year that wound up being positive. Hopefully that gives us a little more courage to make some of those changes ourselves, having to wait for, whether it be a pandemic or some other outside force, Jack, that we could be doing it ourselves to make these changes to help make that organization better. And so again, as you're looking at this coming year, you need to make some structural changes to the organization. Maybe those structural changes will help the people you currently have on board. Or is your structure pretty good? It's more of, hey, I got to get some different people on board here in terms of getting in those seats, or maybe reshuffling some of those duties and figuring it out. Because at the end of the day, one of the beautiful things is, Jack, again, if you look at this year's Browns versus last year's Browns, the biggest change was the GM and the head coach. Now, again, from a talent standpoint and a player standpoint, it's pretty much the same, okay? So, again, looking at it, that's a pretty good-sized organization, Jack. So if we're talking about, you know, your small business, okay, well, to change one key person can make a tremendous, tremendous positive impact to your business.
Yes, it can. That's right.
Why can't this year coming up be the year that you do that, Jack? This is a great time to be able to kind of do that and make some of those decisions and do it now. You mentioned earlier about not being emotional, Jack, which is, I think, very, very important. And you're using this data and to be able to make these decisions where you got a clear head and you're being very objective about what's going to happen versus being in the heat of the moment where things aren't going well. I've got an upset customer here, or this happened, or a vendor about this, and also not making a decision in that very heated moment. Make it now where things are a little bit more calm, cool, and collected today, where I've got some time to kind of think through it and make a good decision from that standpoint.
Yes. That's very good advice, Adam. Talk other companies, but I won't belabor this, you know, for hours and hours. So the gist of it is exactly that. You know, you have to have a good vision and line up the people, direct those people to carry it out. And you need a little knowledge, you need a little luck, and you can do it. You can reconstitute your business for 19 or for 2021, and it's fun doing it, and you'll have fun doing it.
Absolutely. All right, well, that's our last show for this year, because, you know, we're at the end of 2020 here, folks, and hope you guys enjoyed it. Appreciate you being on board for this. As we head into next year, it'll be coming into our sixth year, Jack, believe it or not, of kind of doing this and doing that every week and having a lot of fun doing it. And we've had a lot of fun doing it this year, even though the last 9.5 months have only been on podcasts. It's been kind of fun doing it as a podcast as well. It's taken some of the shackles off here, a little bit of us. We can kind of be a little more freewheeling. And we're looking forward to having some different exciting plans coming into 2021 for our listeners here on Dirty Secrets of Small Business as we continue to kind of hone this and continue to kind of get better at this, as ways to continue to, again, share very, very helpful information for all the small business folks out there, Jack, to help make their worlds a little bit easier and a little more fun. And if nothing else, help them realize that they aren't alone. Whatever they're going through in their business, other folks are going through it now or been through it before. We can certainly help and figure out ways to kind of take those next steps to be able to kind of move ahead. So we appreciate all of our listeners. Appreciate you being part of today's show as well. If you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com, or you can get them all also at our Facebook page by the same name. Better yet, if you can use your favorite podcast player, whether it be Apple Podcasts or Spotify or iHeartRadio, if you take your smart device and subscribe to our podcast, it'll be dropped to your device. We usually drop them every Thursday. Every week it's put there. It'll show right up in your feed, ready to kind of go for you. If you want to be part of the show, have any questions for us, you can reach out to us via email, which is radio@maximumvp.com, or give us a call, 877-849-0670.
Very good.
So great talk with everybody this week. Have a safe, happy, and fun New Year's. And Jack, we'll know next week this time whether the Browns were able to make the playoffs or not. But in any case, yes, we certainly will. Feel like their organization's on the right path, going in the right direction versus where they've been for the last almost two decades, which is fantastic to see and gives hope for us all for a future of very good orange and brown for us, Jack. All right?
Very good.
All right, everybody. To it. Yes. Have a happy, happy New Year. We'll be talking to you all next year.
I know.